Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, there are those that are proclaiming that Israel is made up of a group of people that represent the new Nazis. The Israeli state are the new Nazis. Why would they say this? We'll prove them wrong. They claim Israel's involved in mass genocide, and they're promoting an apartheid state. Sadly, many in the neo-evangelical, neo-Calvinist camp are indeed promoting some of the anti-Zionist propaganda. How are these groups helping to wage war, not only on Israel, Zionism, but on America itself? The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brandon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brennan brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. I'm Brennan House, and tonight we'll continue our series on Hamas in America, Lesson 9. We're going to do a quick review on where we stopped last week and then pick it up and move into some new information, including many within neo-evangelicalism, neo-Calvinism, proclaiming some horribly anti-Semitic, I believe, anti-Semitic rhetoric about Israel, including some who are partnering at conferences like Christ at the Checkpoint, partnering with these kind of people, interviewing these kind of people that are proclaiming that Israel is made up of the new Nazis. Yes, you heard that right. You'll hear their direct and documented quotes tonight. That Israel is made up of the new Nazis. Why would they say this? It's not true. We'll prove it's not true tonight as well as in subsequent programs. We'll also see how many of these neo-evangelicals, neo-Calvinists, are promoting some of the most anti-Semitic replacement theology advocates out there. And by doing this, I believe they're waging war not only on Zionism, Christian Zionism, but on America itself. You know, the Bible is very clear in Genesis 12, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. We've also laid out in subsequent programs, past programs, I should say, we've laid out, I'm looking for my book, here we go, Marxianity. We've laid out in my book, Marxianity, the red-green axis. That there is a red-green axis, the red being the Marxist, the green being the Islamist. Well, let me tell you something. When you start parroting the views of the Islamist, you're also helping the Marxist. Again, I document that in my six-hour docu-movie, Sabotage. And when these folks do this, they're helping to wage war on America. We know that the Islamists declared in their Muslim Brotherhood explanatorium, their goal was to get Americans to sabotage their own house by their own hands, sabotage their own miserable house by their own hands. That's what the Islamists want us to do, and that's what we're largely doing. Well, when they partnered up and were being controlled by the Marxists, and they start saying these horrible things about the Jews, they're not only talking about Jews in Israel, folks, they're talking about Jews in America, American Jews. Thereby, they're waging war on Americans, American Jews. They're also waging war on the Zionists and the Christian Zionists that stand with Israel. And the common theme, in part, the common theme is this. Marxists declare that those who are part of the bourgeois, the property owners, the capitalists, they're racist, right? They're racist. Well, isn't that interesting? Because they're also claiming that the Jews are the actual racist, that Israel is made up now of racists, that Israel is a racist state. Wait a minute. The neo-Marxists declare that Christians are racist. The Islamists and their neo-Marxist friends are proclaiming that the Zionists and the Jews are racist. See the common theme? Why is it they're going after the Jews and true traditional Christians? Because they represent the Judeo-Christian worldview, right? Stemming from the Old Testament, Judeo-Christian worldview. And of course, it was Karl Marx who declared, "My object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism." And what we're going to uncover and have uncovered in our next docu-movie that I've been working on so feverishly called Siege, and I beg you to watch the trailer at siegethemovie.com, Most Americans do not understand what the Holocaust was all about. They see the Holocaust simply as being about Hitler hating the Jews. But we have to ask, why did he hate the Jews? And he didn't just hate the Jews. He hated Christianity. Now, many of the people that made up the, quote, German Christians apparently were not aware of this, because they had spent generations being indoctrinated into the anti-Semitism of John Calvin and Martin Luther, as we saw last week. So when Hitler came along spouting his anti-Semitism, their hearts had already been prepared. They also, through what is known as German higher criticism, had abandoned the authority of the Word of God. German higher criticism said, did God really say, well, it's a book of good stories and collections, but it's not really the authoritative Word of God. So they destroyed the Judeo-Christian worldview by destroying, A, an understanding of God's plan and purpose for the Jewish people and the authority of the Scripture. And then they went after the capitalists. Don't forget, Hitler didn't just hate the Jews. He hated true Bible-believing Christians. He also hated the capitalist. As a socialist, he hated the capitalist. And what most people don't know is that the Holocaust was not just about anti-Semitism, but it was also about a hatred of Christianity with Judaism, and it's being rooted in the ideas of, well, number one, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. And as you move through Genesis, what do we see? God gives dominion or stewardship. He gives stewardship of the creation to Adam. He didn't give us dominion. He gives us stewardship. And so what we see is that man is to care for nature, but nature serves man. Man does not serve nature. Nature serves man. We're to be a good stewards, but we do not elevate nature over man. And what you're going to see in our docu-movie Siege, and the trailer is at siegethemovie.com, you're going to see that part of the Nazi Holocaust was a green agenda. A green agenda. Well, the green agenda today, folks, is nothing less than Marxism. It's nothing less than neo-Marxism, the green agenda. And they elevated nature over man. And whenever you elevate nature over man, you end up with, well, abortion on demand, population control, active euthanasia, and so many other things. And that's what they did with their German paganism. They elevated nature above man, and they called it blood and soil. So it was about their blood. It was about a pure bloodline, the Aryan race, and it was about what else? Nature. It was about environment. Blood and soil, the soil being the environment. And so they had to get rid of those who were deemed to be the blight. The blight was who? Those who held to a Judeo-Christian worldview. The Jews, but Hitler had a lot of people around him, part of the Nazi party. They were also known for being extremely hateful of biblical Christianity. And of course, Hitler was. Don't forget, they pulled down the cross and put up the swastika. They pulled out the Bible and put in Mein Kampf. All the laws and restrictions that came upon the real church. But sadly, many of those neo-Calvinist, reformed Lutheran types succumbed to Hitler. What he was saying about the Jews seemed to resonate because of what Calvin, I believe, and Luther had told them in advance. And so you see, then Hitler brings in what? He brings in the Muslim Brotherhood, the Grand Mufti. Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood started in 1928. Then they went on to start what? Hamas. Hamas, 1987, a terrorist wing. Then in 1994, they started CARE, Council on American-Islamic Relations. So Hitler was doing business with Hamas that was then known exclusively as the Muslim Brotherhood. Our own federal government has proven that Hamas is a division of Muslim Brotherhood. It's in their own documentation from some of their meetings that we've laid out in this series. And our government used it when our government had the courage to prosecute Muslim Brotherhood. They used it in a federal trial, the Holy Land Foundation trial. So Hitler was working with Muslim Brotherhood that became known as Hamas, their division, which became known as CARE. And so when you are promoting CARE, Muslim Brotherhood, you're promoting Hamas and vice versa. So here's Hitler, a socialist who elevated nature above man, hated Christians, hated Christianity, hated biblical Christianity, hated the Jews, and he partners with his natural ally who also hate the Christians and the Jews and capitalism, as one of the tenets of Islam is social justice. He partners with the Grand Mufti of Palestine, al-Husseini, to slaughter the Jews. And so when you are involved in attacking the Jewish people, anyone's involved in attacking the Jewish people today and promoting dominion theology and social justice and replacement theology that so many of the neo-evangelicals and neo-Calvinists promote, they're helping the same ideology of Adolf Hitler that partnered up with the Muslim Brotherhood that today we also call Hamas and CARE. They're partners. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. We'll destroy our shared enemy of the true Christians and the Jews. And so, my friends, when people wage war against the Jews or the Zionists or the Christian Zionists, they're aiding the cause and agenda of not only the Marxist, but the Islamist, who are now joining together in a red-green axis to collectively collapse America. And so there's going to be some very important information coming out in our brand new docu-movie, Siege. Again, I beg you to watch the trailer at siegethemovie.com, because all of this needs to be understood, what we're talking about. Needs to be understood in things we have not discussed here in great detail, but are discussed in the docu-movie Siege, so you can understand where we're going. And where we're going, folks, is those who do not hold to the proper worldview of pantheism, all is God, panentheism, God is in all, and those who do not hold to the idea of the state, those who hold to a Judeo-Christian worldview ethic, that nature is not to be above man, we're going to be persecuted. With a new Green Deal, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and those that don't think correctly, trust me, you're going to have your health care rationed. They're going to know through your social credit score who you are, what you believe, what you've said, what you've blogged about, what you've put on Facebook and Twitter and other places. They'll know your worldview. And this green agenda is going to be a repeating and a repackaging of many of the things that Adolf Hitler and his Nazi party were about. But today, they have technology. They have technology that they don't have to fill up train cars. They can just ration healthcare and keep track of who gets healthcare, who does not. They can do as some are calling, give chemicals to parents so they cannot conceive unless the government wants them to conceive. And if the government wants them to conceive, then they can give them an antidote to overcome the chemicals that have been placed within their system to stop them from conceiving. You say, well, that sounds like crazy conspiracy talk. Yet, my friends, I can point you, and I do in the docu-movie Siege, major people that have written this who went on to play roles in the Obama administration. I will show you in the Siege, the docu-movie, from Agenda 21, now called Agenda 2030, the goal for them is the destruction of Christianity, stealing the freedom of speech and freedom of religion of conservative Christians and those that don't agree with elevating nature over man. They're talking about population control, universal health care, single-payer health care, the single payer being the government. You think the government, after they look at your dossier and your social credit score, is going to be apt to deeming you to be productive human resource worthy of saving when you have the positions you do as a biblical Judeo-Christian? So you see, when all of these worldviews are merging now and these philosophies and these ideas merge, we can understand that those who help the Islamists are those who are also helping the Marxists. Those who help the Marxists are inadvertently helping the Islamists, and their shared enemy are those of us that hold to a Judeo-Christian worldview, and they're using climate change, global warming, the environment, once again, to raise nature over man. And who's going to be blamed for not being a part of this? The Christians and the Jews that hold to the idea of the Judeo-Christian ethic coming from Genesis that man is over nature. Nature is to serve man. Man does not serve nature. So this is very important because some of the people within evangelicalism are doing the exact same thing that the German Christians were doing leading up to Adolf Hitler. And they're sowing the seeds in America and around the world now for those of us who stand for biblical truth to be seen as racist, the enemies, the ones to be dealt with, the ones to be punished and persecuted, and laws will be set up accordingly that they can do these things, and it will be legal according to man-made laws, not God's law, but man's law. So this is a national security issue as well as a spiritual issue. Let's go back to last week and do a quick review. John Calvin on Augustine, remember Augustine was the Catholic's Catholic. He said, Augustine is so holy with me that if I wish to write a confession of my faith, I could do so with all fullness and satisfaction to myself out of his writing. So he's admitting, John Calvin, that his theology came from the Catholic of Catholics, Augustine, who, by the way, was anti-Semitic. Look at what he said. Augustine, the city of God. God has shown the church in her enemies, the Jews. So who are the enemies of the church? The Jews. The grace of his compassion, since, as saith the apostle, their offense is the salvation of the Gentiles. He's quoting Romans 11 out of context, as we looked at in past weeks. But he's saying the Jews are the natural enemies of the church. False. Augustine says, quote, the Jews are our attendant slaves who carry, as it were, our satchels and bear the manuscripts while we study them. When we argue with the heathen, we adduce the predictions found in the Bible written by the Jews. He said, the true image of the Hebrew is Judas Iscariot, who sells the Lord for silver. The Jews can never understand the scriptures and forever bear the guilt of the death of Christ, end quote. Again, foolishness. The Jews are going to become, many of them, to Yeshua Messiah. A great revival breaks out. They become global evangelists in the latter days, which then leads us into after the tribulation period where they're preaching, many of them being martyred and slaughtered in another Holocaust. Those that survive and persevere, Matthew 24, roll into the millennial kingdom. Oh yes, they'll understand the scriptures. It was through the Jews we got the scriptures in the line of Messiah. And they'll understand them and proclaim them and teach them, and that will usher in the kingdom of God. Which is why, of course, God will bring his kingdom. God will bring his kingdom, but what they do as Bible prophecy is fulfilled in them and through them, that will help to bring in the kingdom through Bible fulfillment. Now, God does it. Daniel 2, God brings his kingdom. It crushes Satan's kingdom. Of God's kingdom, there's no end. But what God is doing with the Jews is fulfilling the Bible prophecies that are necessary to be fulfilled for God to be God, his word to be true, and then that kingdom to come at his command. So you see, my friends, Satan has to stop the Jews, destroy the Jews. If the Jews are destroyed, God doesn't get his kingdom because Bible prophecy isn't fulfilled. And so the destruction of the Jews is of paramount to Satan getting his earthly kingdom, which he will have for a period of time and will build in Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad. But for Augustine to say that the Jews can never understand the scriptures, ridiculous. Many Jews proclaiming Yeshua or Messiah today, messianic Jews. Andrew Robinson, as I quoted last week, said, Augustine of Hippo is the unrivaled patron saint of replacement theology. That's anti-Semitism, replacement theology. Again, the view that God's done with Israel, they didn't accept him and his kingdom, and therefore the promise is transferred to the church. False. It's anti-Semitism at its root. Who's the father of this? Well, Augustine is. Who says his theology came from Augustine? John Calvin. And by the way, if you go over to the Gospel Coalition website, look at this. Look what I found in my studies this weekend. Why you need Augustine. Here's an article published April 11th, 2016 by Coleman Ford. After Jesus and Paul, perhaps no other figure in history has defined the Christian faith as much as Augustine of Hippo. His influence was perceived not only in his own lifetime, but also in church councils that came after him and in the religious thought world of medieval Western Europe. His authority was cited by reformers and counter-reformers. His theological insight was infused within 17th and 18th century Reformed theology and spirituality. His philosophical notions continue to fuel discussion, and his life continues to be the topic of biographical literature. It's clear that Christians and non-Christians alike are fascinated by the life of Augustine. So here's a guy at the Gospel Coalition, which is more accurately described as the Cultural Marxist Gospel Coalition, again documented in my book Marxianity and in hour 6 of Sabotage the Movie. Well, he's saying, look, Augustine, he's a big-time thought leader of the folks involved in Reform theology. Yeah, because most of them buy into what? Replacement theology. He's the father of it. He's an anti-Semite. We've already just read his quotes. But who is Coleman Ford at the Gospel Coalition? Who is he? Well, the bottom of that article said he's a PhD in church history at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, wait a minute. Who is the head of that seminary? None other than Al Mohler. Al Mohler, cultural Marxist Al Mohler, who says we need more heroes like communist Nelson Mandela. Yep, he said it in an article. I've got it documented. It's proven. The same guy Al Mohler, who's taking money, according to his own words on video that we have, from the Kern Family Foundation. The Kern Family Foundation that are doing what? They're funding the Okeanobia Network, which is a network of Christian universities and seminaries that are doing what? Training pastors, seminary students, college students, people in seminary to be pastors and ministry leaders, and they're using as their thought leaders, among others, cultural Marxist Tim Keller. Again, I prove it all with documentation and footnotes in Marxianity. And yet Al Mohler's a part of this with the Kern Family Foundation, the Okeanomia Network, transforming our seminaries and ministry leaders through these colleges and universities and seminaries into little neo-Marxist, neo-Calvinist, neo-Marxist. And yet he's on staff with Mohler's seminary. Shocker, right? No. And then he goes on to say that he also serves as a minister at the Village Church. Well, that's interesting. Who's the pastor of the Village Church? None other than neo-Calvinist Matt Chandler. I deal with Matt Chandler in Marxianity and in Sabotage the Docu-Movie. Matt Chandler, who what? Promotes white privilege and talks about all of our whiteness and the privilege we get from our whiteness. This is the same Matt Chandler who has said that part of the problem with Obama not being more successful was pastors weren't explaining Obama's good policies to their church, so they didn't understand what Obama was doing. So Matt Chandler's been a defender of Barack Hussein Obama? Yep. You'll see the video in Siege the Movie on our... We have a whole hour on the useful idiots sieging America. The useful idiots sieging America. America's under siege from useful idiots. And of course, Matt Chandler is going to make an appearance as he declares on a video that one of the problems is Obama scared a lot of people with what he was talking about, and pastors didn't come along and explain to their church members what Obama was really trying to do. That's Matt Chandler. Well, this guy is apparently also serves as a minister at Matt Chandler's church. Well, that's interesting because if we have time tonight, if not tonight, next week, we'll see that Matt Chandler's church has also promoted a guy by the name of Rick Love. Rick Love is with something called Peace Catalyst. Rick Love, according to Paul Wilkinson from his excellent book, Israel Betrayed, The Rise of Christian Palestinianism, documents that Rick Love was one of the speakers at Christ at the Checkpoint a few years ago. Rick Love is being promoted by the website of Matt Chandler's church, and Rick Love believes that Muslims and Christians worship the same God and is signed onto the Yale document, along with Rick Warren and Tony Blair and others. You know, Matt Chandler of the Village Church might want to change his name to the Village Idiot Church. That might seem a little harsh, but the Bible calls it fools, simpletons. Another vernacular, village idiot. So maybe that's what they should change their name to. But look, notice who's there on staff. See, Matt Chandler and all these guys working in conjunction with Together for the Gospel Coalition. I'm not so sure they're all that interested in Israel and the Jews if their theology is that of Augustine and John Calvin. And yet, here we see Matt Chandler standing there next to Mark Dever and Al Mohler at Together for the Gospel, all these guys speaking together on the platform, giving each other credibility as they have the most whacked out theology that one can imagine. Well, here's another article from the Gospel Coalition. Who was Augustine and why was he important? This one is by Ryan Reeves, written in 2015. The article says, this is the second of a five-part series that will blog through Trevin Wax's choices for Christianity's most important theologians. Ah, Augustine is almost universally loved by Christians, he writes. Indeed, those who find cause to reject Augustine often do so based on a particular issue they find problematic in his teachings. Dude, we could spend the whole night going through his issues, not one particular, but isn't the fact that he was a raving anti-Semite and the father of replacement theology enough? Not to mention he's called the Catholic's Catholic and has been venerated by Pope Benedict and held to Catholic theologies that are completely the antithesis of biblical Christianity. So no, it's usually not one issue. There's a lot of issues. But then again, here's the Gospel Coalition telling us who was Augustine and why he is important. Here's another one. Why we need more pastors like Augustine. Or Augustine, however you want to say it. Different people say it different ways. Why we need more pastors like Augustine. Retrieving Ancient Pastoral Practice. And in the article, Brian Lifton says, quote, Augustine had the wisdom to discern sound doctrine, the courage to defend it, and the pastoral love to demand it from his people. Really, he could discern sound doctrine. That's why he's called the Catholic Catholic and was venerated by Pope Benedict, as we saw last week, because he was standing for sound biblical doctrine. These are the clowns at the Gospel Coalition. So apparently the clowns at the Gospel Coalition are now not only promoting neo-Marxism, they're now promoting Augustine, the father, the patron saint, if you will, of replacement theology, who is also an anti-Semite, as we saw. So now they're promoting anti-Semites, Jew haters, and neo-Marxism. Huh. Well, maybe that's why they could have a blog a few years ago where they actually, as we showed the screenshots in Sabotage, the docu-movie, where they encouraged leaders to encourage their church members to vote for Hillary Clinton. Huh. Yeah, because Bill Clinton was a big friend of the nation state of Israel, right? When he was president. Wrong. Yeah, these are the clowns at the Gospel Coalition. But sadly, the Gospel Coalition, which is made up largely of neo-Calvinists, they're loved by many people that are not even Calvinist or Reformed. Many of you likely go to a church, and if you don't have such a church, you're rare. Many people today are going to independent Bible churches, independent Baptist churches, where their staff members love the Gospel Coalition boys. John Piper, Al Mohler, Lincoln Duncan, Mark Dever. They love them. One of my friends recently, who has many, many advanced degrees, I mean, literally, massively advanced degrees, he is in military intelligence and has many, many people under his command in military intelligence. Very bright guy. He has stayed in my home. He's a close friend. I talked to him today. He was recently speaking at his church, an independent Baptist church. They're not Reformed. They are dispensational in their theology according to their doctrinal statement. But what they have on their paper really means nothing. What they have written on paper means nothing. It's what do they teach or what do they not teach. So they're all squared away on their doctrinal statement on paper. Pre-trib, dispensationalist. Okay, great. So surely I ought to be able to mention the problems with John Piper and Al Mohler and some of these guys, right? Well, as soon as he did in his Sunday school class, some of the guys in the church staff got really upset. How dare you say those things about John Piper, even though they were all documented? He shows up at a meeting with his Bible. None of them do. He opens his Bible. None of them do. They all come from a position of emotion. And then when they cannot refute him, guess what they do? They turn and attack him personally and his character and declare he is divisive, mean-spirited, and things like that. That's what they always do when they can't attack your message. They attack you. Now, this was of shock to him because he thought he had was attending and joined a dispensational church whose eschatology and theology would be consistent with those terms. Turns out it's not. The point I'm making is I can't tell you the number of elders and deacons and pastors that hate what we do here. Trash talk us all the time. And when we find out who they are and we look them up online, they don't even go to a Reformed or Calvinist church. They go to what are Baptist and independent Baptist and fundamentalist churches, but they are now buying into all of this. What I'm trying to tell you is the categories largely don't work anymore. There is such a deconstructionism going on, and this stuff has just gone rampant that it now doesn't matter what church denomination you're part of. It doesn't matter if your church claims on paper they're dispensationalist. Largely, the Gospel Coalition guys are being followed all across the board. So let's go back to what Paul R. Wilkinson said. When arguably the most influential Protestant reformer, John Calvin, expresses his indebtedness to a man so venerated by the Roman Catholic Pope, questions must be raised concerning one, Augustine's theology, two, Calvin's endorsement of Augustine's theology, three, any endorsement by Calvin. The late Dave Hunt wrote this in his excellent book, What Love Is This? And here we confront another odd contradiction that those of the so-called reform position in general who put such emphasis upon foreknowledge and predestination have, following Augustine's lead yet further, rejected the premillennial rapture of the church, the literal thousand-year reign of Christ, David's throne, and the literal fulfillment of all of God's promises to his chosen people. Israel, along with so much else that is clearly prophesied for the future. Instead, like Augustine, to their own harm, they allegorize and spiritualize. That means they make it up, folks. They allegorize and spiritualize away this massive and vital portion of God's revealed foreknowledge, the very prophecies about Israel that constitute the major proofs God has provided for his existence and that the Bible is his word, end quote. So let me just simply say, I believe this, how John Calvin's Calvinism helps Satan. One, it's a false gospel. They've redefined perseverance of the saints to say that you're never going to be carnal. You're never going to backslide. Not a good thing. We're not saying it's a good thing, but Christians sin. That's why we have church discipline. Unless, of course, your church performs church discipline on people who don't sin, or they're performing church discipline on non-believers. Why would you do that? Wouldn't you perform church discipline on someone that has sinned or done a grievous sin, or acted in a carnal manner? So it's not a good thing, but the Apostle Paul tells us, right, that there are those, and he confronts those who are acting in a carnal manner. Not a good thing, but it happens. But yet, their perseverance of the saints is redefined with their Savior Lord concept that says that you're going to persevere, but you really can't know you're saved until you die, which is why some of them have talked about someone who's passing away and say, this happened at an R.C. Sproul conference. Andy Woods talks about it. And R.C. gets up and says, let's pray he dies in the faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, they don't really know if he persevered or not. Did he do enough good works? Whereas John Piper says, for final salvation, one must slay sin and pursue holiness. For final salvation? Sounds like Roman Catholicism. Many of my friends who are formerly Roman Catholics say that this neo-Calvinism of these guys, this hyper-Calvinism, that's Roman Catholicism repackaged for the Protestant world. Indeed, it is. That only helps out Satan. So John Calvin's Calvinism helps Satan by having a false gospel. Number two, it distorts the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church isn't dominionism, some kind of conquest. Three, promotes anti-Semitism, i.e. replacement theology. Four, sets up persecution of real Christians and the Jews. Now you say, wait a minute, how is it setting up persecution? Well, let's look at that. Glad you asked. Replacement theology and anti-Semitism within Christianity prepared the way for Hitler, and it's now preparing the way for Antichrist. Satan tried to stop Jesus from being our sacrificial lamb and is now trying to stop Jesus from being our victorious king. So let's look at how Hamas, neo-evangelicals, neo-Calvinists, and Fabian socialists are waging war on America and American Zionists. Here's an article that I referenced once before. I want to bring your attention back to it by my friend Tommy Ice, talking about the speakers at Christ at the Checkpoint 2016. He said there were over 24 speakers, including a moderate representative of Hamas, who was filmed before the conference with an English translation at the bottom of the video screen that I could not read at all since I was sitting toward the back. Well, the only issue I would take is I'm not sure there's such a thing as a moderate representative of Hamas. But anyway, Hamas was at Christ at the Checkpoint. Hamas had a representative at Christ at the Checkpoint. This again is showing these anti-Zionist, anti-Semites within neo-evangelicalism, neo-Calvinism, merging and sharing the platform and the same message as Hamas. Thereby, they're helping Hamas, who are also in America, under such names as CARE and Muslim Brotherhood. How about Mohammed Abbas himself, president of the PLO and the Palestinian Authority? Did you know that he wrote his doctoral thesis in 1984 on, quote, the connection between the Nazis and the leaders of the Zionist movement? The connection between the Nazis and the leaders of the Zionist movement. End quote. I gotta laugh because I know a lot about the Nazis. I know a lot about the Holocaust. I know a lot about how that happened. I've already explained some of it to you tonight. And the idea that the Nazis, they're helping the Zionist movement. Are you crazy, man? Are you smoking too much weed over there in the Middle East, Mr. Hamas? What are you doing, dude? This is just pure propaganda. But it's so foolish on its face, and yet people believe it. Are we to believe that the Nazis and the Zionists work together to establish the Israeli state? Hey, did you know that the Grand Mufti of Palestine, one of the things Hitler promised him was that if he helped to kill the Jews in the Middle East or in Europe there, in Germany and Poland and Austria and Denmark and all these other places, Do you know, and by the way, they didn't get the Danish Jews, did they? Because the Danish people, the righteous Gentile Danish people stood up and they found out what they were going to do. The SS come in and the Nazis come in and grab the Jews at the middle of the night. And what did they do? The righteous Gentiles in the Danish community hid them and then smuggled them out to neutral Sweden, wasn't it? Sweden? And put them on boats, fishing vessels, and got out over 7,000 of them so that when the SS showed up, they were gone. These were righteous Gentiles that did this. But Hitler promised the Grand Mufti of Palestine that if he would help wipe out the Jews by recruiting tens of thousands of Muslims, many of Bosnian Muslims, to wear the Nazi uniform with their swastika and sword and crescent moon, that he, then Hitler, after that, he'd move into the Middle East and wipe out the Jews in the Middle East, making sure they were all gone out of, quote, Palestine. Now remember, it was being called Palestine, which has nothing to do with today's Palestinians. There's no connection. This was back at the time of Rome. This is when the Roman emperor named Israel Palestine as an insult to the Jews. Really, their enemy, the Philistines, is who he was referring to when he called it Palestine. And the Philistines hadn't been on the scene for some 600 years. But here we have a confusion with many Americans today, thinking that, hey, in the Bible, you turn to your map in your Bible, at the back of your Bible, you find a map of Israel. It's called Palestine. Although it's not referred to that in the Bible, they do in maps. Why? Because the emperor of Rome changed it to that name as an insult to the Jews. So many people think, oh, Palestine, Palestinians, yep, they must have had a Palestinian state and the Jews took it over, those nasty rascals, the Jews. No, they don't know history. But remember, Hitler said, I'm going to help you after you help me, Grand Mufti of Palestine. So why on earth are we to believe, as the head of the Palestinian Authority in the PLO, Habas, writes in his doctoral thesis in 84, that the Nazis and the Zionists are working in concert? No, the Nazis were going to wipe out the Jews so there could be no Jewish state. That was one of the paybacks for the Grand Mufti Muslim Brotherhood leader, the Grand Mufti al-Husseini. Well, here's a book maybe you've never heard of. It's called Zionism, the Real Enemy of the Jews. And this dude has written three volumes of this trash, not just volume one. He has three volumes of this. His name is Alan Hart. And Alan Hart was a correspondent, according to his website. He died in 2019, early 2019, I think it was, as a correspondent for ITN's News. Here's an article on his own website, January 13, 2009. Knowing the documented truth about the creation of Israel by Zionist terrorism and ethnic cleansing, and watching, mainly thanks to Al Jazeera and Press TV live feeds, the war on Gaza, Israel's latest display on state terrorism, I have come to a conclusion. But he's saying he watches Al Jazeera, that's Islamic television, and Press TV. So then I went and looked up, what is this all about? And I found out from Breitbart and other sources that Press TV is the Iranian propaganda machine. Their article said the Iranian regime, pursuing a vision of global dominance, has taken media propaganda to the next level. On July 2, 2007, they launched Press TV, which has turned into an internationally recognized media outlet with 24-hour English language programming. Cloaked with a veneer of legitimacy and the purported transparency of a major news network, Press TV is really an appendage of the Iranian government, created to further embitter its populace against the West. Well, not only that, but they also are pumping it into other parts of the world as well. So we're finding out from this guy, Alan Hart, who wrote a book called Zionism, the Real Enemy of the Jews, that he found some of this out by watching Press TV. So he's finding out the truth about the Jews from the Jew haters over in Iran. Wow, that Alan guy was smart, wasn't he? Well, look at what he writes. Alan Hart article on his website, January 13th, 2009. It's time to give Israel's hardcore Zionists their real name. They are the new Nazis. Europeans and Americans could have stopped the original Nazis and prevented the extermination of 6 million Jews. If Europeans and Americans don't stop the new Nazis, it's likely that their end game will be the extermination of millions of Palestinians. Wow. So again, we have all kinds of people talking about the fact that Israel is the new Nazis. Well, that's interesting, because Christians here in America and capitalists here in America are being called what? fascist, Nazis. Now the Jews are being called Nazis. You know, the Jews and the Christians and the conservatives and the capitalists are all being called racist and Nazis and xenophobia and promoting apartheid states by supporting Israel and genocide, even though there's no proof of genocide. You notice the common theme we got running here? Notice again, who's going to be the common enemy of this global government? The Christians, conservatives, capitalists, and Jews. Now look at this. In March of 2011, the Edinburgh University Students Association called for a boycott of Israel as part of the BDS movement. Dennis McEon of the Gatestone Institute and an expert on Arabic and Islam responded, quote, "I'm shocked and disheartened by the initials are for the Edinburgh University Student Association motion and vote. I'm shocked for a simple reason. There is not and never has been a system of apartheid in Israel. That is not my opinion. That's fact. That can be tested against reality by any Edinburgh student should he or she choose to visit Israel to see for themselves. Let me spell this out. Since I have the impression that those members of EUSA who voted for this motion are, in all likelihood, the victims of extremely biased propaganda coming from the anti-Israel lobby. Being anti-Israel is not inobjectionable in itself, but I'm not talking about ordinary criticism of Israel. I'm speaking of a hatred that permits itself no boundaries in the lies and myths it pours out. Thus, Israel is repeatedly referred to as a Nazi state. In what sense is this true? Even as a metaphor, where are the Israeli concentration camps? The Einsatzgruppen, the SS, these would be your Nazi troops. The Nuremberg laws, those would be the laws that cracked down on the Jews. The Final Solution, that would be the murder of the Jews. None of these things, nor anything remotely resembling them, exist in Israel. Meaning, none of this is being practiced against the Arabs. Precisely because the Jews, more than anyone on earth, understand what Nazism stood for. It is claimed that there has been an Israeli Holocaust in Gaza or elsewhere. Where? When? No honest historian would treat that claim with anything but the contempt it deserves. But calling the Jews Nazis and saying that they have committed a Holocaust is a basic way to subvert historical facts as anything I can think of. Now look at this, also very troubling. On January 22nd, 2015, a New York City Council was about to vote on a resolution to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Demonstrators were upset that some of the council members were about to embark on a trip to Israel. Now make sure you understand, they're also about to vote on a resolution marking the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Here's what we find. Quote, City Council member David Greenfield, he's a grandson of a Holocaust survivors. He responded when anti-Israel protesters unraveled a Palestinian flag. Now the quote. Quote, I have to tell you, I'm still shaken to my core. I'm upset. I'm angry. But I'll tell you honestly, I'm actually somewhat pleased at what we saw here today. If you're wondering why I'm saying that, it's because for the last few weeks, we've heard from people who've said, oh, we don't dislike Jews. We only dislike the state of Israel. But we know that's not really at the core of what they're saying. And today, they proved it. While we were discussing a resolution regarding the murder of 1.1 million human beings, I will point out that 90% of them were Jewish, but the other 10% were political dissidents. While we were discussing that they had the nerve, the chutzpah, the temerity to unfurl a Palestinian flag and to yell at us, and so the reason I'm pleased is because we can stop pretending that this is about Israel, when the reality is that every Middle Eastern country that is in existence today is not democratic and persecutes people of other faiths and persecutes gays and persecutes people who disagree with them and persecutes people on Twitter and persecutes women who drive, except for one country, which is the state of Israel. And so what you saw here today was naked, blind anti-Semitism. That's what you saw, that's what you watched, and that's what you witnessed. People who are upset for one reason. Do you want to know why they're angry? Do you want to know why they're unfurling the flag today? Because Hitler did not finish the job. He only wiped out half of my family, and only by the grace of God is the other half, me, the grandchild, still alive today. That's why these people are upset. Shame on them. Shame on them for hating Jews. Shame on them for hating people. I'm embarrassed at what happened here today, but I am pleased that we finally see what it's all about. Good old-fashioned anti-Semitism, end quote. And then my friend Paul Wilkinson documents this. The opening address for Christ at the Checkpoint 2012 was given by Dr. Salem Fahad, then Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority and one-time Minister of Finance during Arafat's chairmanship. Well, that's very interesting. We already know what the Palestinian Liberation Authority stands for. We already know what their flag stands for. We already know that the leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization and Palestinian Authority, Habas, did his 84 doctoral thesis claiming that the Zionist state was set up by Zionists in connection with the Nazis. Everybody's calling the conservatives, Christians, capitalists, and Jews Nazis now. And my friends, there are enough Americans and people around the world that don't know enough history. And if you repeat the lie often enough, they'll start to believe the persecution of the Jews and the Christians and the conservatives and the capitalists is warranted because, after all, they're racist bigots, they're Nazis, they're fascist, they're stopping the progress. They deserve to be persecuted. That's what's happening, folks. That's what's happening. This is all setting up the stage for the persecution of Christians. Do you understand what I'm telling you tonight, folks? All of this hate talk, all of these lies, all of this distortion of history that can be so easily proven to be distortion of history is being told because they know that the majority of people will not go check it out. They know the majority of the people are brainwashed. They can't even think. They can't even understand the truth. If you were to put out the truth, many of them are to the point now they wouldn't believe it because they have been so damaged intellectually and spiritually and so brainwashed, they can't see it, even if they wanted to. And they know if they repeat the lie enough, people will believe it. And that is going to set the stage for the acceptance, the encouragement, then the acceptance and the legalization of the persecution, harassment, and eventually murder of Christians and Jews. It's smelling like the 1930s all over again. I really truly wondered if I would live long enough to see this day. I have predicted a lot of things in my books since the early 90s. I predicted America would move toward fascism, big government, big business. I predicted in my books that we would see the mainstreaming of that which we never thought would become mainstream. And I was very concerned and have been for a long time that I may not get out of this life before the climate in America is such that we are viewed as really equal to being treated as the Jews were in Germany. And I think that possibility, I'm only 50 years old. As fast as this is moving, I live to be 70, another 20 years. I watch these Holocaust films and movies and what was happening to them, and I think this could happen to us as Christians who believe the Bible and stand with the Jews. And we don't stand with the Jews for some political agenda. We stand with the Jews because we're commanded to stand with the Jews, because we understand God's economy and plan for them and purposes for them and what God has done through them thus far and will do in the future. And the mistake that people make is thinking, well, history will repeat itself. It will, but it will rhyme. It won't be the same, but it will rhyme. And the system being set up with the technology and the tracking and the social credit score and universal health care, they won't need to do the messy thing of trains and train cars and concentration camps. They won't need to do that. They can simply shut you off, shut you down, turn off your internet, turn off your heat, turn off your AC, turn off your credit cards, turn off your finances. Have you unemployed? They can prosecute you for hate crimes, for saying the wrong things. I mean, New York's already talking about fining people $250,000 for saying illegal alien in a way that they deem to be politically incorrect. You use the wrong pronoun, talking about a transgender. They're talking about fining you in the, well into the six figures. How long will that take before you lose everything? You lose everything. And then what if you show up at the hospital and they pull up your social credit score and they see who you are and what you believe? You think you're going to get treatment as a 65-year-old man? 65, 70-year-old lady? Hitler could only dream of the technology that's available today to not have to go through the messiness of the Holocaust. No, it's not going to repeat itself, but it's going to rhyme, but it'll be updated with new technology. But the Bible tells us clearly in Zechariah that there's going to be a mass slaughtering again of the Jews. And don't think that there won't be Gentiles that get caught up in that. Indeed, there will be. And if we believe correctly the pre-tribulation view, we will not be here. But that doesn't mean that some of this can't start before that. And it doesn't mean we're not concerned about the believers and the Jews that will be here when that's going on. And it doesn't mean that we're not concerned now that the foundation is being laid for this and that we're warning about it and giving a heads up. But we're also warning many of you unknowingly are giving money to religious organizations and groups that are promoting this ideology of anti-Semitism, Marxism, Marxianity, as I call it. Some of you need to rewrite your wills, I believe. For you plan on leaving money to your local church, and yet have you not seen that your local church, some of them may be promoting John Piper and Tim Keller and Mark Dever and the Gospel Coalition? So what are you going to leave your money to? To fund the very things I'm warning you about now? May it never be. In fact, we read in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17, and again in Revelation 18, come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And in Revelation 18, which is really the talking about it in the context of 2 Corinthians, which is then going to go and happen in Revelation 18, is what? Don't be a part of the one world religious Babylonian system. And that's what's being set up. A one world religious Babylonian system that elevates nature above man and declares that the problem, the blight, the poison, the bacteria, the vermin, the subhuman, those who have not evolved biologically, much less spiritually, are these Jews and Christians holding on to their Judeo-Christian ethics and their capitalism. That was at the root of the Holocaust. I'll prove it in my docu-movie Siege. And yet we have so-called ministers of the gospel and the Gospel Coalition quoting, promoting some of the people that are the fountainhead of this anti-Semitism, like Augustine. And not to mention, John Piper's part of the Gospel Coalition. Christ at the Checkpoint, their theme in March 2016, the gospel in the face of religious extremism. Well, who do you think the religious extremists were? Paul Wilkinson attended the conference, and he says in his book, The Rise of Christian Palestinianism, that one of the guys that spoke was a guy named Chalkat Makari, Director of Interfaith Relations with the World Vision International. With World Vision International, blindly asserted that mercy and forgiveness are central themes in Islam. Makari suggested that Islamic teaching can be summed up in the words of Surah Al-Fa. This is coming from the opening of the Quran, which reads, in the name of God, Allah, the ever-merciful, the all-merciful, praise be to God, meaning Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the ever-merciful, the all-merciful. Then he said, Makari then asked the predominantly evangelical audience, quote, do you have anything in this prayer which you could not accept? If you had found it in the Psalms, would you have been shocked? End quote. Yeah, because Christians and Muslims don't worship the same God. And then you have Hank Hanegraaff. His speech at Christ at the Checkpoint was called A Response to Zionism. He says, quote, ironically, perhaps 3 years to the day that Bonhoeffer was martyred in the struggle against anti-Semitism, another Semitic horror unfolded on the outskirts of Jerusalem at Deir Yassin. Before the day had ended, more than 100 Arabs, mostly non-combatants, were murdered. And that was only the beginning. By 1948, Zionist murder, terrorism, and ethnic cleansing drove upward of 750,000 Palestinians from their land and from their home, and that has produced today the largest displaced group in the world. What is he talking about? He's talking about the wars that have been incited within Israel, that Israel then defended themselves, and yes, People died on both sides, but there's no context here. There's no context. Next week, we'll look at what's going on with Tony Campolo. Then we'll look at one of the guys speaking at the 2016 event was this guy named Rick Love, who Matt Chandler's church is promoting. We'll look at what he's saying. What's the point? These guys were speaking at an event that included a representative from Hamas. That's Muslim Brotherhood. That's CARE. They're saying the same things. Israel, apartheid state, racist, terrorist, ethnic cleansing, genocide. And that's in America. That's global. But it's also here in America. And when these people do this, they're waging war on America. Spiritually. Because God says, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. These people are not helping America. This is a national security threat because they're emboldening our enemies, encouraging our enemies, giving our enemies the belief that Americans are okay with this. They're also encouraging Americans to fund the groups that hold to this ideology, and yet they're inviting the wrath of God on America, as described in Genesis 12. They're waging war in America at a national security and spiritual level. And yet we see what the genesis of it is for many of them. It's Calvin, it's Luther, it's Augustine. It's this neo-Calvinism and hyper-Calvinism. But again, I warn you, it's not just in the Reformed Calvinist churches, and there, by the way, are some Reformed churches that stand wholly against this, by the way. But they'll be caught up in it. They'll be ridiculed for being free grace Reformed, like my friend Tommy Ice, or like Reformed theologian Charles Ryrie, who were free grace, strong dispensationalist. They were being smacked around before Charles Ryrie could even die. He was already being attacked. So some of you listening tonight said, well, I'm Reformed, but I'm free grace and I'm dispensationalist. Yeah, you're going to get it, along with the rest of us who are not, quote, Reformed, but who are just simply standing with Israel from a biblical perspective. Very serious, very troubling. If you appreciate what we presented to you tonight, and we'll continue next week, remember there's two ways to support us. Your membership at SituationRoom.net, SituationRoom.net, or by making a tax-deductible contribution at WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there. Hey, folks, we're listener-supported. Those are one of two ways you can support us. Membership at SituationRoom.net and or tax-deductible contribution at WVWFoundation.com. It takes hours to study, prepare for this one class, not to mention everything else we're doing here. And again, our streaming and storage bill is $3,000 a month. So again, we need your help. SituationRoom.net or WVWFoundation.com. Lord willing, we look forward to next week. Lesson 10 in Hamas in America. Till then, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.